Amen, amen. I would like to know, did you guys not get the message today? Listen, great minds think alike here, you know. Walking in, I see a few others are out there close. We'll all do a little picture here in just a little bit together. It is great to see you today. I hope that you are overflowing with Thanksgiving. Man, it has been a great week, hasn't it? I mean, being able to be together with family and friends. And I know that this isn't always the best time of the year, but this launches us into a wonderful, wonderful celebration. And I woke up this morning and I kid a lot about Christmas music. And I do, I love Christmas music. But you know what? There is something about this season that is so unique. I woke up this morning just going, yes, we are getting to gather together, and we're gonna worship the Christ child, the one who came, the one who was born. And looking around, I love the lights. I love seeing trees. I love Advent. Some of you may go, I don't know what this Advent is. Advent is a word that means the coming. It means the arrival. Yourself. It's a season, a time where you would celebrate the arrival of a king, the beginning of a new season. And so what we celebrate is the arrival of the Christ child, the one who came, God on earth, who was incarnated, who came in flesh. And so this is a time of the year where we get to celebrate that. And so it's exciting for me. I hope that it is for you also. If you've been like stressed and, I mean, yesterday Amy and I got out and went just kind of walk around, see a few things, drove over by the avenues and everything. People are out moving around. I mean, it wasn't as busy as I thought it was going to be, but people are out moving around. You know, the struggle with Christmas a lot of time is that it generates a lot of energy and a lot of movement, whether you're trying to fill your list up, whether you're trying to get your house decorated and get all of that happening, whether you're trying to get lights up. We've already got neighbors with lights up all around. It's incredible. I love seeing it. I don't know how they leave them on all night, but that's up to them. All this movement begins to happen. And what I think can happen if we're not careful is we can let the movement begin to move us in directions that really aren't about what the real gospel movement of the season is all about. You know, we're here to celebrate, and this season is all about celebrating the one who came, the one who was born, the one who was born a baby. And what happens is many times our movement gets us moving in the directions that are really commercial, that can be really more about what's happening here and what you're getting and what I'm getting and what we're getting each other or what we're not getting or whatever, those kind of things. But in reality, what my hope is this season generates in us a movement for the gospel. It is a time where we think deeply about the one who came, where we think deeply about Jesus and him being born in a manger, him coming and being sent by God the Father. And out of that, and you're going to see this in several passages that we read over the next several weeks, that as we think about that and as we marvel and like dwell on those things, that dwelling and that marveling mobilizes us. It moves us out to live a life for the gospel. You realize that this is the time of year where really people are looking. They're wondering about, traditions and family, and they're remembering and they're looking for something. They're looking for something. And this is the opportunity that we have to come alongside them and help them find what it is that they're looking for. And most often, people don't even know what they're looking for. They just know that there's something missing, and I'm trying to fill it with all kinds of things. And our hope in this season is that as we talk about Mary, as we talk about Joseph, as we talk about Elizabeth, as we talk about John the Baptist, as we talk about the shepherds and all of these people, that it calls us to go. It calls us to want to share. It causes us to want to be looking past just what does Christmas mean to me? Just what does Christmas mean to my family? What could Christmas mean to someone who doesn't know Christ? That's what my hope is. That's what my desire is. That's what our desire is. We're starting a brand new series today. It's called Go Tell It on the Mountain. And we're going to sing about that later. But in the beginning here, we're going to be looking in Luke chapter 1. Turn over to Luke chapter 1. Luke is in the New Testament, in case you don't know. If you've never opened a Bible before, and each week we have people who come who may not know anything about what we do and why we do. That's why I want to explain what Advent is. That's why I want to explain what these things are, so that you would have an entryway into why we do what we do, why we worship. You realize that the word Christmas means Christ Mass. It is Christ worship. It's the worship of Christ. And so this season should be all about why do we worship Christ? It ought to be all about worshiping Him and not just about the gifts. Though, listen, we all love the gifts. And we, if you can get them, get gifts. I heard this weekend, Amy and I hosted a family member who was talking about there was a season in their life where they weren't able to buy gifts for some folks, and they decided what they would do is they would take something that was meaningful at their homes, and they would trade those things for 1 year so that the family members could enjoy something meaningful from another family member for 1 year. Just to remember, I thought, oh, that's interesting. You're like literally giving something of meaning and value to another person to remember and think through. So this year, as we think about that, what I want us to begin looking at in Luke, thank you so much, Michaela, for reading. As I stepped down off the stage, I looked at Amy and I said, you know what, Juliana, she's great with child. She could have came and read. That would have been nice. In case you don't know, Juliana and Zion are expecting a baby. Let me ask you, that is on Christmas Day, the day after. And so we need to be in prayer for them. Today, as we look and as we talk, the title of the message today is Go Tell Them Nothing is Impossible with God. Go and tell them nothing is impossible with God. And each week we're going to be talking about what it is that we can go and tell, what it is that we can go and share, what it is that our movement can be about. And so today there's going to be about four different things that we're going to look at. And I'm going to go ahead and give you the words that we're going to be talking through. First off, the first thing that we're going to look at as we walk through this passage again that Michaela read, we're going to be talking about the situation that was at hand. We're going to be looking at the situation. The next thing we're going to look at is the annunciation. There was a situation. We're going to look at the annunciation. And then we're going to look at the explanation of the annunciation. Are you following me so far? And after that, we're going to talk about the declaration that she made in response to that. So with that, I want to begin reading in verse 26 today as we talk about the situation at hand. Number one, the situation. Verse 26 says this, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, there are two places in the Gospels where the birth of Christ is kind of talked about. Matthew, I told you last week I was going to have someone come up and read the genealogy. No worries, we're going to wait and hold off on that. But it's also in Luke. And what Luke does is he begins his story of the birth with an announcement that kind of shatters all kinds of expectations for this young lady. The story opens up and he says this, the Bible tells us that there was an angel named Gabriel that was sent from God. Now, I think in our world today, we've been done a disservice, because when we picture angels, we see like little tiny cherub, Cupid, little looking people with wings. Listen, when Gabriel said, do not be afraid, an angel would have been an imposing figure. When you read in scripture about in Revelation that these angels, they have six wings. They cover their eyes, they cover their hands, they float and they fly with the angels with the wings. They cover their feet. I mean, these angels are large. They do the bidding. They are the messengers of God. They would not have been small. They would have been intimidating figures. And Gabriel shows up on the scene and he says, Mary, do not be afraid. One of my most favorite Christmas movies this time of the year is It's a Wonderful Life. I do not want you to get Clarence in that movie and Gabriel mixed up. Gabriel is not a bumbling trying to earn his wings. This guy, this angel has come to tell a story. He's come to declare that the king is going to be born. And the unique thing is that he didn't go to the religious center, which would have been Jerusalem. He went to Galilee. He went to a little podunk town, the scripture tells us, to a place called Nazareth. The scripture tells us later on in the Gospels, someone says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? I mean, this was like an out-of-the-way place. And this is where God had ordained that the mother of Jesus would be. So here Gabriel goes to a little peasant girl's hovel hut, and he meets her. Now, I want you to think about it for just a few moments, if you will. You have the God of the universe, the one who created all things, the one who spoke everything into existence. He made a decision before time ever began that the one who was going to carry his son, the son of God, the one and only son of God, he made a decision that he would be carried by a teenager. Probably, you know, it's debatable, but somewhere between the ages of 13 and 16, somewhere in those ages, it says that she was a virgin, that she was in a little out-of-the-way town. She was in a little country, a little province called Galilee. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, when I think of that type of thing, that stirs up some things because I'm thinking if you're going to send a great messenger and you want this to go out across everywhere, surely you would send it to the religious center, Jerusalem, where your temple is, where there are religious leaders, there's great priests, the high priest, you would send them there. You would allow them to see it, and then there would be others that they would begin to tell and they would begin to see. Surely, God, why would you send this to a teenager? Well, how about a full-grown lady, a husband, they're married, man and wife? Why would you not do that? In today's world, it may be, God, why are you not like splashing this on TV? How come you go to maybe a social media influencer or something so the word gets out? Yet what does God do? God says, no, that's not how I'm sending my son, the one who is the son of God, the one who will be the king of the world. I'm sending him in humility to a teenager, a virgin, one not married, in an out-of-the-way place. This is the situation in which God chose to send his messenger. Now, I want to stop for just a moment here. Do you realize that you are a messenger of the Father? If you in here have surrendered and submitted your life to Jesus Christ, you realize you're one of his messengers. You're not Gabriel. All right, you're not an angel. You're created in his image. And he has saved you so that you could go speak into very difficult, unique situations. It's not always clean and comfortable, the places that he wants to send you. He may want to send you into a home that is so mixed up and crazy. There may be medical situations. There may be financial situations. There could be addiction situations. There's husbands and wives that are struggling together. It may be a workplace that you're going, I don't know if I could do that. Those are the places that the Lord wants to send us as his messengers so that his good news, his gospel, that the child that came to earth to be born to die, he's come with good news. He wants to send you in that situation. He wants to put you into that situation so that his gospel might go forth. This is the kind of world that Gabriel walked into, was sent into. This is the very thing. Now, I want you to notice what it is that happens after that. Let's go to point two. Number one was the situation. Number two is the annunciation. Look at verses 28 through 33. I want to read those. And he came to her, Gabriel came to her, and he said, "Greetings, O favored one." The word favored there means grace. The one who has been graced, not the one who is the dispenser of grace. She has been graced. It says, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Verse 30, and the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. God has graced you. He has chosen to place his grace upon you. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end." This text is typically called the Annunciation. And in Latin, what that means is to bring good news. Gabriel is announcing the Annunciation. He is announcing good news to Mary, the teenager, the virgin little girl, the one who wasn't married. She was betrothed, but she had not known a man. They had not come together yet to consummate their marriage. She lived in a little backwoods area. I keep repeating these things because this is the announcement that comes to her. This good news that this is going to happen. And Gabriel comes to her and he says, "Mary, hey, you're going to give birth to a child. You're the one. God has placed his grace upon you and he has given you a child. This is what's going to happen. You don't even have to think about his name. His name is going to be called Jesus. That's what you're to name him. The name Jesus means savior. He's going to be the savior of the world." Now, I need you to remember the situation in which this came into. And for Mary, this probably would have been the difficult news to hear. It would have been confusing. Yes, she was betrothed. That was for us, that's an amped up, in case you don't know, that's an amped up engagement. The only way in the Jewish world she would have been set aside for her husband, Joseph, arranged marriage, probably with families. Mary and Joseph's family come together. They're going to be married. They go into a year-long engagement that the only way it could be broken was by a legal separation of divorce to be written. That was the only way. And here she knows, "I've never been with a man. There's no way. How could this happen?" She probably has dreams and desires. She thinks about this great Jewish wedding that's going to happen, all the things that she wants. And now an angel comes and speaks to her and says, "No, this is what's going to happen. Listen, yes, God has chosen you. Don't be afraid. He has chosen you. He has graced you with this." But can you imagine what it is that she probably would have been thinking? Remember what verse 27 said. Verse 27 said that she was a virgin, and yet here what you have is Gabriel saying, it doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit, God has chosen you, and you're going to give birth. You're going to give birth. In the midst of that situation, and I don't know what situations you're into today. I don't know where you are. I don't know what it is that you're facing and what plans you may have had for your life, how you thought it was going to be this. Maybe even you have plans today about this is where my life is going to go. I want you to be ready because the Lord God may intervene and change all of those plans. And what for you may be confusing, what for you, you may go, why? What is this? This is not how I thought it was going to be. What we can know for certain is that when God interrupts, it is not an interruption. It may be an interruption to us, but he has this plan before the foundations of the world. Notice how she responds in verse 34. Look at verse 34 with me. In verse 34, she says this, "Angel," and Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin. How is this? How is this going to happen? How is it that someone who's never known a man is going to have a baby, let alone the Son of God? How is that going to happen? Well, number three, the explanation. Look with me at verse 35 through 37. You've seen the situation. You've heard how Gabriel has now told her, this is what's going to happen, favored one. And now he explains how this is going to happen. He says, and the angel answered her, the angel being Gabriel, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. Now Mary says, how can this be? I'm a virgin. And Gabriel begins to explain to her, listen, I want to be really clear. I've not made a mistake. I've not come to the wrong home. This is not return to sender. This is how this will happen. God has had this plan before time ever began. And the unique thing, if you've walked with the Lord for any amount of time, I want you to look here with me. You know this already. God usually walks through the door of impossibility. Things that you don't think could ever happen, if you've walked with him for any amount of time, you've now sat back and gone, oh, only God could have done that. There's no other way that could have happened except him intervening. Maybe it was a medical situation. Maybe it was a financial situation. Maybe it was a relationship issue. And today in this room, here's what I know. There are people in here who are sitting in situations right now and you're wondering, how will this ever happen? How will this person ever come? How will I ever get out of this? How will I ever be healed? How could I ever trust? Why? I need you to hear me. I need you to hear me. What you think is impossible is not impossible with God. This is the testimony of the one who stood before God, the one who was sent with a message from God. He looked at Mary and he said this, verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. When we think about impossibility, we think about our own capabilities. Listen, there's so many things that would be impossible for me to fix. There'd be so many things for me that would be impossible for me to get arranged, but with God, all things are possible. In the 1800s, a great Baptist pastor in England named Charles Spurgeon, he said this. He said, difficulty is not a word to be found in the dictionary of heaven. Dictionary is not a word to be found in the dictionary of heaven. Nothing can be, hear this, nothing can be impossible with God. When all of Mary's questions were running through her mind, when all of the questions that she wasn't certain how they were going to be answered, she could hold on to this truth. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. You know, Jesus said this when he was in his earthly ministry over in Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew chapter 19, he and his disciples are watching people throw money into the coffers. And there's a debate, and they start talking about rich people and poor people. And Jesus says that it's very difficult for rich people to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And he said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into heaven. And you remember what his disciple said? His disciple says, then who can be saved? And Jesus said, with God, nothing is impossible. You know, in this whole idea about moving out and going to tell, there are people in your life today that you're thinking, I would really want them to know Christ, but I think it would be impossible for me to tell them. I don't think they would believe me. You may even have some people in your life that you think they're too far gone. Maybe you're sitting in here today and you're thinking, I'm too far gone. I need you to know, salvation, nothing is impossible for God. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how crazy you think your relatives, your friends, your coworkers, how crazy that you think they're going to think you are. I need you to hear me. Nothing is impossible with God. And he's called you and me, he's called us, his messengers, to go and tell. Our job is to go and tell. This is what he desires for us. If nothing is impossible, if he can open up the womb, if he can open up the womb of a virgin, some of you may go, okay, I need you to help me understand that. I wish I could tell you how that happens. I wish I could tell you how that happens. I wish I can tell you from where the wind blows. I don't know how that happens. I wish I could tell you how it is that the Lord opens my mind and opens your mind and opens your heart for you to realize that you, me, we're far from God. How does he do that? Well, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. I know that because that's what the scripture teaches us. We know that Jesus, if we've surrendered and submitted our lives to Christ, who's taken up residence in our life? The Holy Spirit. How did that happen? I don't know, but I know the word tells me that. So in the midst of this, when the scripture says that the Holy Spirit will overshadow her, you know, that's language, that's Old Testament temple language about the glory of God overshadowing the temple. When his glory would fill the temple. How does that happen? I don't know, but the scripture tells me that the Holy Spirit would overshadow her. And she would be great with child. And if the Holy Spirit can do that, and if the scripture tells us that nothing is impossible with God, if Gabriel said, Mary, your questions, I need you to know this. Nothing's impossible with God. And I want you to know this. I want to be really clear. From the bottom of my heart, there's no situation that you're in today that is impossible for God. The marriage you think that is destroyed, nothing is impossible with God. The financial ruin you feel like you're in, nothing is impossible with God. The broken relationship with children, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And the question is, will we believe? God, I take you at your face value, at your word. I believe your word. I faith you. You may have all the questions. How can this be? Today, I need you to hear this. Nothing is impossible with God. That's the message that he calls us to go and share. Listen, the situation that you're in, the situation that your friends are in, it's chaotic, it's messed up. You don't know how it's going to happen, but he's called you to go announce good news. That's what he's called you to do. He's called you to go and do that. And then he's given us the ability to explain why it's good news. Why is it good news? Because there was bad news. The bad news is that, man, we have screwed things up. We were born in our sin. And we're not bad because we sin. We're bad because we were born sinners. And all we know to do is sin, to run away from God. But the good news is that at the right time, God sent his son to earth to be born as a baby with a teenage virgin girl in a backwoods town called Nazareth. She carried the Son of God. Your friend's going to go, how has that happened? I don't know, but the Bible tells me that that nothing is impossible with God. And what I know is that he died on a cross. He is alive today. He rose again. He's alive today. And my life has changed. And I thought that was impossible. But with him, nothing is impossible. And that's good news for you today. That's good news for me today. You realize that, don't you? The gospel isn't just good news to get me into heaven. The gospel is good news so that I can get up each day in the middle of what it is that we face and say, Lord, you're alive, you're on the throne, and I'm trusting you today. I'm trusting you today. As we close this out, I want you to see her declaration. Look at how Mary responds. Look at what Mary says in verse 38. The last thing she said is, how can it be? It gets explained. And then in verse 38, she says this. And Mary says, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. This passage ends with Mary's declaration of faith. This was her submission to God. And when she found out how it could happen, she says, let it be to me. Let it be to me. Even though how the Son of God was going to come into the world, even though it may have caused her to waver a little bit, you know what she did? She trusted. She never wavered. She trusted. Before she was the mother of Jesus, do you know, it says that she was the servant of the Lord. Look there with me. It says, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me. Though she didn't understand, let it be to me. The situation seems crazy. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be according to your word. Father, how is this going to happen? I don't understand it, but I'm going to trust you. Let it be according to my word. You know, so often we think when the time comes, if there was a great trial, that we would be willing to stand in the midst of it. And I'm not going to waver whatsoever. Do you know what will help us not to waver? To first, to be a servant of the Lord in the situations when we're in good days. Just being a servant of the Lord where he's called you. You know, a servant stands at the beck and call of his master. He waits. He listens. He sits. So that when the master calls, he hears and he obeys. Let me ask you something. Have you been more concerned, some of you, about being greatly used of God in some mighty way? More than, God, I'm your servant. Behold, here I am. You see, Mary was found faithful at being a servant. And as she was being a faithful servant, the Lord said, this is the one. She is the one. And Mary says, behold, let it be to me. I really believe that in this season that we're in, this Christ worship season, this Christmas season, there are some let it be moments for each of us in here. There are some let it be moments for each of us. Your faith, you're going to be put in a situation to where it's going to feel and seem like this is an impossible task. And the question at hand that we have to answer is, can we say to the Lord, let it be to me. Here I am, your servant. According to what you desire, this is how I walk. You know, it causes me to wonder, what would your family, what would my family look like if each day we got up and said, Lord, let it be. According to your word, I'm your servant. I'll speak what you want me to speak. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll tell what you want me to tell. I wonder what it would be for us if we spent each morning, in your Advent guide, there is a reading, an Advent reading for each morning. This morning we read out of the book of Isaiah. What would it look like for your family to read and just sit and say, Lord, what is it that you desire of me today? What would it look like for your family? How might that moment where you sit as a servant of the Lord, how might that change your home this season? How might that prepare you for the situation that he's going to walk you in where you have the opportunity to announce good news to your friends and family and to your coworkers? I wonder what it would be like if we really believed. If we really believed nothing is impossible for God. What would that look like? You know, I have to confess that there are times in my life where I either am so busy that I miss a moment, or I may be in a moment and I think, and I choose the side door rather than the direct door. Do you know when I choose the side door, what I'm saying? Functionally, this is impossible. I don't think you could do this, God. I wonder what it'd be like in my own life. God, there is nothing impossible with you. You see, I think we're all in the same boat here. This is the word that he has for us today. Would we be willing to let our marvel of the season, have you thought about today? A virgin? The situation? An angel? You realize she could have been put away quietly, the scripture says, but she also could have been put away publicly and stoned. And she says, let it be according to your word. The one who will be great, the one who will be the most high, the one who will sit on the throne of his father David. Let it be to me. Would we think and dwell and marvel on that, and let us move us to our neighbors, move us maybe to an aunt or an uncle who doesn't know. Maybe it's moving us to a coworker. Maybe it's moving us to a spouse that doesn't know. Today, let it be for us according to the word of God. And may that move us down every cul-de-sac, every street, every mountain, every hillway, every byway, so that someone might hear the good news as we go and tell. Father, we love you and we honor you. I thank you for the privilege of being able to look at your word. Thank you for the privilege of being able to magnify you today. Father, I pray in these moments, as we sit, as we think, as we marvel, Father, God, I'm going to ask that your spirit speak to us today, that you would call us, that you would point out areas of our life where we've held back because of what we assume to be impossibilities. And God, may your spirit convict us and call us to release, to go, to be obedient, and may it be according to your word. Father, would you save people today? Would you encourage people today? I'm asking that in this room today, you would heal marriages and heal broken hearts. I'm asking today, Father, that we might have confidence in your son and trust him and faith him with everything that we have, relying not on anyone else for our salvation, but only Jesus. And it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things today. Amen. I'm going to ask all over the room, you go ahead and stand. We're going to sing a closing song about telling it on the mountain, the good news. And as we do, if you'd like to pray with someone, I'll be down front. I'll be out at the back or as you're leaving. Don't leave without speaking to someone about Christ is Savior. If you need someone to pray with you, we're here. We want to pray with you and intercede with you on behalf of you. Zion, come and lead us.